Well, good morning. You know, I get to talk to you this morning and teach from Psalm 23 about this antidote for fear. I don't know about you, but you ever look back and realize a moment where you just had an incredibly unrealistic fear? And it caused you to maybe do some things that you wouldn't normally do. I think I've only told this story once publicly. I'm going to just share it with you briefly. When I was a high school senior, I was a three-sport athlete and played middle linebacker on the football team. And so I was kind of that guy that in some ways kind of came off as rough and tough and no fear. And so my good friends, though, they knew that I had a very significant fear of snakes. Now, you can't use this on me at any time, all right? But they knew I was afraid of snakes, and so we're at an open house. It's for my best friend, and everybody's there. You know, much of the community had gathered. And by the way, let's think of our seniors right now that are missing out on that and pray for them. What a moment, though, that this was, where you had all these people gathered. And as they're gathered, a little girl found a snake in the field. And when I say a little girl, this girl was 3 years old. And so my friends were like, hey, he's afraid of snakes. And so she came after me with the snake. Now, keep in mind, this thing is probably 12 inches long. It's a little gardener snake. And it's being held by a three-year-old girl. I'm a 6 foot, 185-pound middle linebacker at that time. And I ran. I was gone. I started running around that place and was so afraid, and they kept cheering, and now the adults got into it and everybody got into it because they thought it was so hilarious. It wasn't for me, but I ended up doing 2 laps, 3 laps, and then jumped in my car and left and went home out of sheer embarrassment and fear. How irrational was that of me? To miss out on a moment of time with people I loved and cared about, to miss out on a celebration, to miss out on the moment that was available because of an irrational fear that a crowd helped fuel. Sound familiar right now? In fact, for many of us, what's happening is we're getting swept up in panic, swept up in fear. And there's an antidote for that. You see, God's presence in our dark times is all we need. In fact, when we look to Him, when we look to God, He's going to give us everything we need for the victory. And we had no idea 2 weeks ago when we began this series, Lack Nothing, Gain Everything, that we'd be standing here in a time where many of us feel afraid. Many of us have things, doors that have closed, jobs that have been put on hold, things that we have lost, and we feel there's lack. Yet I'm here to tell you, in God, we've got everything we need. I want to pray us in this morning. Jesus, we love you, and we come to you right now, a people that may be anxious, that may be worried, that may be filled with fear. And yet, God, we are your people. And in your presence, we have nothing to be afraid of. So, Father, as we dive in to this message today, meet us with your love. Fill us with boldness and love and compassion and faith and hope for such a time as this, that a fearful world would hear from a church that understands who's ultimately in control. God, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, everybody at home said amen. Amen. You could say that on comments for us. And here's the thing. There is no doubt that if you're watching news, you're watching social media, you're paying attention, that fear is rising, that panic is the new eject button, that we're so close to wanting to hit that panic button. And I want to tell you, like, we need to recognize this isn't a new moment in time. Our country, our world has been through things that are similar. In fact, let me show you a clip from 1918. This is when there was a flu pandemic that had hit. Churches, schools, shows closed. Epidemic puts ban on all public assemblies. This is in 1918. It has no doubt changed the way we're living today. It's interesting that so many things we're used to are closed. So many things that we have come accustomed to aren't available to us. And we can focus on what we lack, or we can look at what we gain in this time. Because there's a lot of gains that are happening. A lot more time available for people. A lot more recognition of time available with God. There are gains that are available to us. And I just want to tell God's people, those of you that profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, this is not a time for us to panic or to live in fear. You see, we are to be a peaceful presence in this time because that's who our God is. Yes, we can be aware of what's happening. We can live smartly. We can listen to the recommendations by health professionals and others. We can face those facts. But we don't have to let fear win. And that's why today, as we talk about the antidote for fear, as we talk about what this means, I think it is so timely for us because God's presence in us is part of the antidote for fear in this season. What is an antidote, you may ask? It's a medicine taken or given to counteract a particular poison. According to the Oxford Dictionary, that means that fear itself in many ways right now is a poison. I heard a governor in a press conference say that right now the virus isn't the thing that he's seeing rise the most in his state. What he's seeing is fear rise even further. It is a poison that we have to be aware of. A theologian, Howard Thurman, said this, "He who fears is literally delivered to destruction." That fear is something that can actually begin to destroy us. So what is the antidote even when we're walking through darkness? Let me read to you from Psalm 23, verse 4, our focus for this morning. "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Within this, we're going to find the antidote. You see, this verse describes for us a context. David, the psalmist, is talking about what it looks like for a shepherd to guide sheep. And you see, sheep are, throughout the Bible, often what you and I are called. And that's not the most flattering thing, because sheep aren't necessarily the most intelligent animals. And in fact, they're often afraid. They're uncertain. They don't see real well, and so when they enter into a valley, when they enter into an unstable place, they get nervous, they get afraid. It's actually the presence of the shepherd that changes things. And it sounds for many of us like maybe this is a moment where we are on unstable ground. Let me show you a couple pictures of what this would be like to think of the valley and walking through darkness with shadows. This first picture here shows kind of what a valley would look like in the context in which the psalmist David is writing this. You can see the uneven and rolling terrain, the way shadows are cast across it. The next photo shows you a little bit more close up. And remember, the green grass that's growing, that's an example in the middle of the chaos of the green meadows that the shepherd was talking about in verse 3. As we look at this, can you imagine how a sheep that doesn't see well, that doesn't know where they're going, that gets very afraid in unstable circumstances might be afraid as the shepherd leads them through that? And here's the key. If you're taking notes at home and as you're listening, even when we're walking through the darkness, even when we see the dark shadows, we need to look for God and his light. That we need to look for God and his light. You see, in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the things that are going on, the sheep would find comfort knowing that the shepherd was there. He was their light in the darkness, and that's who our God is. Our God is at work right now in ways that some of us can see and maybe in ways that we'll someday understand later. But look to the light. Look for God in his light. And you know what I've realized in my own life is one of the great barriers to that right now? It's my news feed. It's the news that I turn on. It's the social media that I pay attention to. It's even Netflix. You see, news and Netflix and social media, things that we're doing now on our screens more than ever, are not going to provide us with light unless we intentionally use it for that purpose. Maybe right now what you need to do is to say, I need more light. I need to fill myself in this time of darkness with more of God's light, because our news feeds and Netflix and the things going on around us, they don't have the answers. Only God does. God has the answers. Secondly, we need to recognize the dark shadows, but know the light. You see, a sheep would recognize the dark shadow, but would trust and know the shepherd. And this is one of the great opportunities in front of us right now, I believe, is at a time where we all have a little bit adjusted schedules. We can face facts, but know who is in control. We can get to know God better. In Psalm 118, verse 6, it says this, "The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" A late theologian, Ray Anderson, says that God is for you. The summary of Scripture is God is for you. Think about that for a minute. That if God is with us, if he's for us, even in the face of fears and facts that drive those fears, we can take comfort. We can know that he's in control. When we know the light, it makes all the difference. Secondly, the antidote for fear, even when we're anxious and afraid. Did you catch in the middle of verse 4? It says, "I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." You see, some of us have anxiety and fears rising. Panic is sitting right there. Corrie Ten Boom years ago said this, "Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. Worry empties today of its strength." Sounds similar to what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, that we don't need to worry about tomorrow because today has enough trouble of its own. Maybe a good word for some of us right now to realize the antidote for fear is to focus on today, focus on God, focus on who he is today and what's in front of us, because we don't yet know what tomorrow will bring. Let's not empty today of its strength by worrying about tomorrow. As we do this, committing to grow closer to God is a key. The psalmist had said, "I will not fear." It was a commitment. It was saying, "I'm committed to not growing in fear." And when we grow with God, that displaces the fear. Isaiah 41:10 says this, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." This is who our God is and wants to be in this season, church. And for those of you that don't know Jesus, this is who he wants to be for you in this season. To be close. To let you know he's for you and he's with you, even in the dark valley. What if God is saying to us in this season, I've closed some things in your life because I want to close the gap between us? What if we began to look differently at the closings and looked at the opportunities that it opened to grow with God? I believe God is closing the gap between us and him right now. I believe he's available in ways that we couldn't even have dreamed of a couple weeks ago. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, "The only safe place for sheep is by the side of the shepherd, because the devil does not fear sheep. He just fears the shepherd." That is so good, isn't it? To realize that there's an enemy that's afraid of our shepherd and our God, who wants us to be afraid and to fall away. But what if we use this time to draw close to God and realize in his presence there is no fear? In fact, people of God, we find our peace in the presence of God. It's in God's presence that we find perfect peace. And this is who I believe God is calling his church to be. You see, in God's presence, there's no worry, there's no anxiety, there's no fear. They all flee in the presence of God. So how can we continue to press in and lean into the presence of God in this season? To say that's part of the antidote, is to close the gap and to be close to Him, because close to Him is everything that we're going to need. Church, I'm here to encourage you today. I'm here to equip you today. I'm here to empower you today as well to begin to live differently, because life has changed. And we as the people of God can live differently. We can be God's people, filled with His Spirit, present with peace, making a difference for our neighbors, making a difference online, making a difference in how God may lead us to reach out with love and compassion. Let's not let fear win. There's an antidote, and it's being in the presence of God. We want to take a moment and let you reflect on this and respond. And so at home, or wherever you're watching this, we want to encourage you to take 2 minutes and to go ahead and respond right there where you're at to these questions. Maybe do that with whoever you're watching with, or maybe you could comment online and do that with our live hosts. Let's reflect and respond for a moment on what God is saying to us. As we continue forward with God's word, in Psalm 23, verse 4 again, it says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." And this is similar to what a staff used by a shepherd then and today would look like. You know, when we trust God's love, it displaces our fears. Part of the antidote for even when everything is seeming out of control is to trust His love, to trust that His love displaces our fears. And what shepherds would use this for were two primary purposes. The staff was used by the shepherd to walk. It helped stabilize and guide them as they walked. It also was something that the shepherd, using the crook here, could reach out and actually pull or guide, not beat, not harm, not hurt, but lovingly pull back sheep that were falling away off the path or might be near danger. Maybe they fell and the shepherd could use this to pick them up. Think about what that means for our life, that we have a good shepherd, that His love is there to guide us and to pull us back to Him, to draw us close, to say, there's a place that I want you to be, and I'm going to walk with you and correct. I'm going to pull you back to me. So much of the antidote for fear, again, is being close to God. In addition to that, it talks about this rod And a rod was used, it didn't look like the staff, it's much smaller, it's about 2.5 feet on average in length, and a rod would actually be used by the shepherd not to beat or hurt or harm the sheep, but as a weapon that they would use to fight off predators, to fight off those that would try to harm. You see, for the sheep, it knew that being close to the shepherd, there was guidance, there was comfort. There was also the reality that that shepherd would fight for them. And you need to know that we serve a God who both fights for us, and the second use of that rod was for counting. That he counts us, he sees us, he knows our name. Let me share with you a couple scriptures that illustrates this even more. Leviticus 27, verse 32. The rod, it says here, was to count off every tenth animal from your herds and flocks and set them apart for the Lord as holy. What it was describing is how a shepherd would hold out the rod over the gateway. And as the sheep would come through, it was counting them. And I got to imagine that the voice of the shepherd, that sheep coming through, hearing its shepherd, knew that it saw them. That it knew them. In fact, many shepherds would name their sheep. One of my favorite names of God in the Old Testament is El Royai, the God who sees you. I just want you to know that when we look to a shepherd, our God sees you. You may be struggling right now with fear and anxiety. You may know somebody that's been affected directly by COVID-19. You may yourself be affected. You may have lost a job or fear losing that. God sees you and knows your name. Take comfort of that and be encouraged. We serve a God that is that personal, that loves us and wants to be close to us. Secondly, that rod, as I mentioned, was used for fighting. That we have a God who is willing to fight for us and on our behalf. And maybe in fear right now, that's part of what's rising up in you. It is you trying to fight the battles, you trying to figure it out, and maybe that's what's robbing you of peace. Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14 says this, "But Moses told the people, 'Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm.'" What a good word for us in this time and season. To realize that being still in God's presence displaces fear, remembers that he loves us and knows our name, and also begins to call on God to fight for us, to protect us, to heal our land. I want to tell you today to be still and to be comforted. God's got this. Be still and be comforted because our God has got this. This didn't surprise him. It didn't sneak up on him. He's sovereign. He's allowing it for a reason, and he's also orchestrating his plans and purposes. We don't need to live in fear. We need to trust that he's close. He's available. He is ready to comfort and console us. God is there and is ready to give us rest and renewal in new ways. Charles Spurgeon, years ago in the 19th century, delivered a sermon on fear. And in that message, he said this to the church at that time. He said, "We will use our mouths in prayer and in constant adoration, and we will shall conquer yet, for God is with us and victory is sure." What a great word for us today to recognize the antidote for fear is God's nearness, his comfort, his ability to console us, take care of us, fight for us, and move us forward. Our God is available. I believe he wants to close the gap in our lives today. He wants us to draw close. The reality is that there's two primary ways our minds function. This comes from brain research, that there's the fear zone and the love zone. And many of us have got caught in this fear zone in this season. And I believe that God is inviting us into his love. God is love. And he wants us to come into this love zone and realize that 1 John 4:18 is one of the keys. That perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4:18 says this, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love, because when we get into God's love, we realize that he's for us, that we can trust him, that he is good. And I want to just encourage you in this time to let God's love be the antidote for fear. And to, as that love fills you, to be the kind of people, to be the kind of church that allows that love to boldly flow through it to its neighbors, within the homes around you, by texting, by calling, by checking in on social media. This can be our finest hour, church, by allowing God's love to flow through us at a time in our world where that love is needed so desperately. I know you're afraid, but get in his love. Get close to him, and you're going to find him leading you through this dark valley and into a new season. And there is great plans ahead, because our God is always orchestrating plans to give us a hope and to give us a future. As we finish messages right now during this time, Numbers 6, 24 through 26 just continues as your pastor to burn in me, that this would be a blessing over you. And so I want to read this to you and then pray for you today. Numbers 6, 24 through 26. It says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Father, right now, as we bow our heads here and at home and online, we just look to you and we confess that fear and anxiety and worry is knocking at the door. But God, I believe that you are also knocking on another door, a door of love, a door that's saying, come to me, I'm here with open arms. And so, Father, I pray for each of us to take steps closer to you, to trust you, to not get caught up and fixated on the dark shadows, but to look to the light and to know you. Father, as we restructure our lives right now, may you be in the center of that. May you give us faith and hope and love. And may we walk forward boldly in new ways with you. Jesus, we thank you that we lack nothing and we gain everything with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, at home right now and online, we have a chance to respond to this message today, to praise him and to worship him. And as we do that, I just want to encourage you to comment online to let us know how we can pray for you. Maybe you're watching this and you don't know Jesus. Let's start there. Reach out online. Let us guide you into what it means to enter into a relationship with Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And let's praise him and worship him and come to him right now and let love displace all fear.